Welcome to the Living a Nordic Life podcast, where we explore a simpler, cozier, and more intentional life the Nordic way. I'm Fiona McKenna, your Nordic living guide and founder of Living a Nordic Life, where I share all things Nordic living and show you that a Nordic life is the way to bring intentional calm and healthy habits into your own life, wherever you are in the world. Are you looking for ways to bring simplicity, coziness, and calm into your life? Well, let me show you how. Visit the Living a Nordic Life website to explore how I can help you on your journey to simple, healthy, and happy calm, the Nordic way. You can subscribe to the podcast right here. And if you want regular inspirational emails sent with love from Norway and straight to your inbox, don't forget to subscribe to the Living a Nordic Life newsletters. And so now let's dive into our episode. Hello and welcome to this episode, Norwegian Schools, What Are They Like? Now this started as an article on my website and I wrote it about 18 months ago. And although I put everything into it that I knew then, in that time, with my kids growing up and a new one starting kindergarten, things have changed and I've learned an awful lot more. So I thought it really warranted a podcast episode. Plus, I get to talk to you and I really like doing that. So when we first moved to Norway from the UK, even though Andre, my partner, is Norwegian and he went to school here, we still had so many questions about schooling. And before the kids started school, my eldest two, I was Googling constantly and asking questions of the teachers, other parents. And I rather naively thought that things would be very similar to the UK because we're in Europe. It's the same, isn't it? Surely, you know, the same kind of schooling system. How wrong could I be? There was a huge difference. There was a huge difference in standards, in expectations, the years that they started, the amount of time they spent, the cultural differences that you may not think of. You know, there may not seem like there's much of a cultural difference between being English and being Norwegian, but there is. There's quite a lot. So anyway, I thought it was a good idea to tell other people a little bit about it because I was sure that there were as many people as I was thinking, you know, maybe hundreds, thousands, who knows, looking at Google and Bing and searching. And oh my goodness, you know, my kids are starting school in Norway. I need to know these things. Where am I going to find out? Because really here, unless you have a question and you actually put that question forward, you know, in a very kind of face-to-face way, people are not going to offer that information. They just don't, you know, there's very much that kind of stepping away from it and not feeling like they're imposing. You know, maybe you already know that. They don't want you to feel like you don't. So you're not going to just be offered that information. I have to go and look for it. But anyway, let me share what I know. And maybe that will give you a little bit of an insight if your kids are starting school here in Norway, or maybe you're just curious. It's great to be curious. I love that. So the start of the academic year is in August. And when I wrote this, my eldest, Brendan, was leaving barneskola, which is the equivalent of primary school, and he was going up to ungdomsskola, which is the equivalent of senior school, junior high. And Millie had just begun her final year of barneskola. They're just a year or so apart. And this was the first time that they had been at separate schools. Schooling in Scandinavia is often hailed as being some of the best in the world, especially Finland. I mean, you don't hear so much about Norway, but certainly Finnish schools are hailed as being some of the best. And not so much in the way of schooling, but more in the way they go about things, about their systems and routines and the way they approach things. But there's no doubt it's pretty good. But it's certainly very different to how schools run in my native England, where, of course, we have a population of 60 million plus. In Norway, 5.5 million. You know, there's a huge difference in numbers there for a start. But like I said, I had to do a lot of research and ask a lot of questions when we first moved the children into a Norwegian school. The teachers were really patient. They still are, because I'm still asking the same kind of questions. You know, there's always something I have to ask, and they patiently answer. And some of them, the questions must seem so basic. But nobody laughs at me, and nobody says anything. Everybody just answers it. But it was all about school culture and daily school life. So let me share a few things with you. For a start, here in Norway, children start school at 6 years old. And in many parts of Europe, school starts at much earlier age. In England, particularly, it's perfectly normal for kids to start school at 4 years old, in what is called reception. It's not really a compulsory class. You can pull your kids out of it a little bit, or they can be there for part time. But it's there to get them used to things at school, so that they're used to those routines and their expectations. In fact, Millie started her first preschool in England at 2 years, 9 months. It was very young. She was so ready. She was really ready. Brendan was already there, and it was a preschool within the little village school. And she desperately wanted to start. So the moment that she hit that 2 years, 9 months, she was there. And I was literally there for 15 minutes with her, and then I left and she just got on with it. She was brilliant. But in Norway, grade one starts at 6 years old, and children attend school full time until they are 16. So there are 10 compulsory years of schooling. They start school in the August of the calendar year that they turn six. You have to figure that one out. That confused me a little bit, I have to say. And all state schools are free to attend. You don't have to pay for it. You don't pay for anything, actually. Might pay for the occasional school trip and lunch. That's it. You do not pay for schooling unless they go to a private school. The school year runs from August to June. The start of the school year is in the middle of August. It's around about the 19th of August, I guess, around about then. It's when it feels like we're kind of heading into autumn here. That's quite early, because for me, August still feels like summer, because I'm English, you know, we're used to that. But here, we feel like we're heading into autumn. And it runs through until the following June, and it's about the 20th of June. The school year is 190 school days. They're very good at sticking to that as well. School holidays here in Norway take place in October. That's 1 week. Christmas, that's 2 weeks. February, 1 week. And Easter, which is only 1 week, which I feel is a little bit unusual, because I know that elsewhere it's usually 2 weeks. However, there's a reason for this. And that is because during May, there are an awful lot of special days. There's Norwegian National Day on the 17th. And that, if it falls in the middle of the week, that is a day off. But there are days around it as well that are taken off. And there's Ascension, which is about the 24th, 25th of May. So there are quite a few days off in May. I think that's probably usually about 4 or 5. So, you know, that's the equivalent of a week, isn't it, almost? Children normally start what's called barnehage when they're little, and that is the Norwegian version of kindergarten. Now, barnehage can either be state-run or private, but whichever one you take, parents still have to pay for it. Now, this is not the kind of payment for barnehage for kindergarten that you expect in other countries. It is minimal. It's about 3,000 NOK a month, which is the equivalent of around about $300. And that's for the whole month. We also pay for food, because they eat at barnehage. And if you want to learn a little bit more about Norwegian kindergartens, I have a blog post. So go onto my website and have a look at that, because it's really interesting. They start really early as well, you know, early years at barnehage, but it's very much play orientated. But anyway, it's not as expensive as it is in other places. You're not handing over half your monthly income for it. It's minimal. They want to get kids in there. They want them to be socialising. They want them to be learning things. Children are eligible for Barna Haga from 1 year old and up to the June before they attend grade one of Barna Skóla, that first school that they go to. And it's really encouraged for them to be there for that final year before they start school, because they're making friends, they're socialising, they're learning what it's like to be part of something that isn't being at home and a little bit more structured maybe. But it is usual for parents to enrol their children into Barna Haga at a very young age. And I found after I had Mia, because I had her here, she was born here in Norway, that I was questioned closely and frequently about why she was not at Barna Haga from 1 year old. You feel like you're constantly having to justify it. But that's because it's normal for people to send their children there when they're a year old. Barna Haga are usually very outdoorsy. There's lots of outdoor space and the kids spend a lot of time outside every day, usually, unless there's some particular reason why they can't, like it's very, very cold or there's a lot of ice, which we've had recently, but otherwise they're outside every day. Once they finish Barna Haga, they start at Barna Skóla and they start there at the age of 6 in grade 1. So it's the equivalent of a primary school. And they leave at the age of 13 when they finish grade 7. Schooling at this age is fairly general, I have to say, but I'm always impressed and always have been impressed with the variety of subjects the schools are able to fit in. They can fit in things like music, woodwork, cooking, science, all of these things, fairly specialist as well, not generalised. But again, a lot of time is spent outside. And there are often weekly trips into the forest to learn about nature, the world around us, how to light fires, how to cut wood. Yeah, they use axes and saws and things like that. They're allowed to use matches. It's all carefully controlled, but making sure that they know how to use these things. But with Barna Haga and Barna Skóla, the kids are expected to be outside for every single recess, regardless of the weather. It does not matter. The only exception is if the weather gets below minus 15 degrees centigrade. So, appropriate clothing is always essential and it gets daily use in the autumn, winter and spring. It's really, really important. Spare clothes are important as well. And that's another thing, when children start kindergarten, they're given a list of clothes that they really need to have and they're kept there at kindergarten. A lot of spare socks, a lot of spare clothes in case they get wet, things to keep them warm, things to get changed into. So you do need quite a lot of clothes. Once they finish Barna Skóla, they go to Ungdomsskóla. And this is the final stage of the compulsory part of schooling for children in Norway. They attend here from the age of 13 until 16, and it tends to be more grown up and specialist in the way they approach the children. They're treating them more like young adults. They're given a lot more freedom, and they are also expected to take more responsibility for themselves. Grades here are given right from the start of Ungdomsskóla, and it's graded 1 to 6, with 1 being the lowest, 6 being the highest. But they do expect most children to get 3s and 4s. You know, most of them fall into that middle category. You have a few that get 6s and you have a few that get 1s. But they mostly fall into that middle category. So if your kid is there at Ungdomsskóla and they're getting 4s, 5s and 6s, they're doing brilliantly. Remember that. So a few more facts about Norwegian schools. There are no shoes inside. And this is something that we talk about quite a lot. I know that for people in other countries, this can seem very strange, you know, taking your shoes off everywhere. But there's a reason for it. It's because we get an awful lot of snow. And when we don't get snow, that's wet, you know, bringing that in. There's mud. And there's only a few months of the year where things are really dry. But the famous Nordic rule applies to school the same as everywhere else. I mean, can you imagine 150 kids? Straight in from the snow in their outdoor shoes. It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Outdoor clothes are deposited in the locker room to dry, and they are normally heated. They have heated floors, they have radiators and things like that. And they put on their indoor shoes when they're going inside the school building. This keeps the place dry and clean.
But it also adds to that feeling of cosiness that Scandinavia is so famous for. Taking your shoes off and putting on a pair of slippers or a pair of nice woolly socks. How lovely is that?
All kids here get a PC, a computer. And this is the one thing that always impresses me, is that all children at school, in state schools in Norway, get a computer to use. They take it home. It's a laptop. They get to take it home. It's theirs for the whole time that they are at that school. And they can even use it at home and in the holidays. The only time they give it back is when they leave that school and they go on to the next one. But as parents, we have to sign an agreement that it will be taken care of and that if it's damaged, we agree to pay a small repair fee. It's really small as well. It's about 500 NOK, which is about $50. The computer is not worth $50, I can assure you. It's worth considerably more. And on the odd occasion that we have had computers damaged or they've broken, we have not been asked to pay it. But otherwise, it's completely free to use. Short school days. Now, normal school days in Norway start at about 8:30, a little bit later, and they finish at about 2. For the older kids at Ungdomsskole, it's a little bit later. But all schools finish early on a Wednesday. Although there is homework set for the kids to do, there's also an acceptance that they have activities and they have a life outside school. So as they get older, there's more homework to be done. But it's not very much, really, in the grand scheme of things when they're much younger. And especially when they're finishing school at 2 o'clock. Most schools in Norway are secular. Now, I know there's always a lot of talk about religion here and, you know, is it a Christian country and do people go to church? But despite the fact that Norway is officially a Christian country, schools are secular. There are very occasional visits to church, which they can opt in or out of, actually, depending, you know, not everybody who attends school is Christian and might not want to go, or they might be Christian and just not want to go to church. But there are no hymns sung. There are no prayers said during school hours. In religious education, the children learn about all the world's major religions in equal amounts, and they learn to tolerate them if it's not your own religion. But they also learn about how interesting they can be and how there are similarities between all of our religions. Year 6 camp trip. My kids loved this. It was brilliant. When they get to year 6, the children get to go to a camp school. And when I first found out about this, I had so many questions because Brendan was the first one to go and I didn't know anything about this. How much was it going to be? How long did they go for? How did we pay? How much did we have to pay? And I was quite surprised to learn it was free. All children in grade 6 in state schools in Norway are invited on a camp trip with their class. It's organised by the individual schools and it must be for at least 2 nights and more than 2 hours away from school. These are the rules that have been set by the government. Now, I can't testify to other schools because my kids have only been to one, but certainly the location that Brendan and Millie's class chose was incredible. It was just fantastic. They were both up in the mountains and it was about as far from camping as you could possibly imagine. It was in cabins in a little resort and it was lovely. The kids were accommodated in these beautiful cabins, modern, with all the amenities. And activities included hiking, survival skills, all sorts of exciting things. But this question of cost nagged me for a little bit. So I had to do some of my own research. And I found out that in 2018, the Norwegian government changed the law so that they could include a grade 6 camp trip as free for all children. Previous to this, there had been lots of kids that were unable to go because their families couldn't afford it.
And it was felt that this was a really long way from the inclusivity that Norway prides itself on. Now, it's even possible to borrow equipment for the trip, such as outdoor clothing, if the kids need it. So absolutely everybody gets a chance to go.
Now, I want to talk to you about something that you may or may not know about. It's called the matpakke, and it's the Norwegian lunchbox. And if you search for this on social media, you will see so many articles about it. It's a lot of articles about school lunches throughout the world. And they often include Norwegian school lunches, which I find slightly bewildering, because schools do not provide school lunches for kids here in Norway, only at Barnehage. But there's no such thing as a school-provided lunch here. Parents make the kids' lunches and they take what's called a matpakke, a lunchbox, to school, often with a few slices of bread and a topping like cheese or ham or some caviar. If you don't know what that is, you have to Google that. It's this really strange sweet fish paste that one finds here. It's made out of fish eggs, hence the name caviar, but it's been made into this paste, and it's often slightly smoky, but it's weirdly sweet as well. And it comes in a tube. Lots of things come in a tube here. But things like candy, chocolate, fizzy drinks, and cordials are absolutely not allowed in school. There are no machines to buy anything like that. There is nothing like that served in a canteen. They do not come past the school grounds, I promise you. And if kids repeatedly take those for lunch, the teachers have no qualms about letting you know it's against the school guidelines. One thing I especially like about lunchtimes in Norwegian schools is that the younger kids, I have to say, eat in the classroom with their teachers. They don't go out into a canteen and mill about. They sit down, they get the lunchboxes out, and the teachers will sit with them. It's really organised, it's very relaxed and calm, and it instills some lovely manners at mealtimes that are so essential when they grow up. And this takes me on to the next thing, which is the ratio of teachers or adults to kids. The average ratio of teachers to pupils is particularly high in Norway, with one teacher to every 16. Larger classes often get broken down into smaller ones, but usually they see two teachers assigned to one class. That's good, isn't it? Because then they can look around and they can see if there's anything going on. And often you'll find that there are even more than that. I mean, there can be up to four teachers in a class, even more, depending if you have some kids that have particular needs, like maybe they're deaf or perhaps they're blind, or they have something where they need some assistance themselves. So a school plays such an enormous part in our kids' lives. You know, it's crucial, isn't it, to get as clued up as possible. And I hope I've answered a few questions about school life here in Norway. And if you're a parent and you're worrying about your kids starting school here and you've been hunting around for information about it, I hope I've calmed you a little bit. But I can assure you that your kids are going to love school here in Norway. And I think you as a parent probably will as well. If you do have any questions, drop me an email. I'd love to hear from you. I will see you in the next episode. See you soon. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the Living a Nordic Life newsletters so you can get an email when I release a new episode. It's a quick and easy way to keep up with all things Nordic living. Please visit livinganordiclife.com. You can listen to Living a Nordic Life on lots of podcast apps, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcasts, and plenty of others. If you've enjoyed the Living a Nordic Life podcast, why not leave me a rating? So that's the end of Living a Nordic Life for today, and I look forward to seeing you next time.